Good afternoon, Cell Group, and welcome back to our consideration of last Sunday's Gospel, which is the very familiar story of the woman caught committing adultery. And we all have, I think, notions about this story, and I'd admit to that as well. And it's only when you study it, you can see how some of these notions, in fact, could be wrong. So it'll be interesting to see what you think as you discuss this and pray about it and share. So it's a story basically about Jesus and his mercy in comparison with the scribes and the Pharisees. So it makes you see Jesus as the personification of God's mercy, and the scribes and the Pharisees are very, very hard and stony. Now, the other thing about this is that that scholars have pointed out that it's an odd kind of a story, because it doesn't appear in early manuscripts of John's Gospel. In fact, there's no Greek authorities for the first 1,000 years who make a comment about this. The vocabulary also indicates that it's got elements of Luke's storytelling and Mark's storytelling. We'll pick that up as we go through the text. But nevertheless, it is a story that's very beloved of all Christian churches. Now, another wee bit of background. The rule about stoning people to death, you get rules, like all rules for the Old Testament. In the first 5 books, the book of Leviticus, for example, if a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbour, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. That's in Leviticus 20, verse 10. And also, if a man is caught lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die, the man who lay with the woman as well as the woman. So you shall purge the evil from Israel. That's from Deuteronomy 22:22. And there's even a legal bias slightly in the woman's favour, from Deuteronomy 22, 20, verses 23 to 27. If there is a young woman, a virgin, already engaged to be married, and a man meets her in the town and lies with her, he shall bring both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death. The young woman, because she did not cry for help in the town, and the man, because he violated his neighbour's wife. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. But if the man meets the engaged woman in the open country, and the man seizes her and lies with her, then only the man who lay with her shall die. You shall do nothing to the young woman. The young woman has not committed an offence punishable by death, because in this case, it's like that of someone who attacks and murders a neighbour. Since he found her in the open country, the engaged woman may have cried for help, but there was no one to rescue her. So that shows a sort of a bias then slightly towards the favour of women, which confronted my own kind of bigotry, that I said, oh, that's a very harsh law. The woman was caught committing adultery, and she was brought on her own before Jesus. Where was the man? So when we look at the text then, we'll see that that point I made about it not being kind of typical of John's writings, we get that when we look at the text. First verse, they went to the Mount of Olives. The term Mount of Olives is only found here in John. So if you look at the other Gospels, it's more the 3 references in Matthew, and about 3 or 4 references in Mark. Luke has a couple. And daybreak, also in the next verse, only occurs here in John. So that, you know, the use of language would indicate that it's not a typical John kind of traditional story. Scribes, again in verse 3, are only mentioned here in John. And standing in front is the position of judgment, of accusation. And if you watch and look at the text, there's all sorts of irregularities here, legal requirements in Deuteronomy and Leviticus that aren't followed through on. Then master, this woman in verse 4 was caught in the very act of committing adultery. That's only found there in John, again indicating that this comes from a slightly different tradition than John's tradition. So there's no witnesses. The woman is alone. There's no sign of the man. Moses is named. And Moses has ordered us in the law to condemn women like this to death by stoning. So God dictated the law to Moses. So Jesus has been invited ultimately to go against not just Moses, but God himself. So that's basically the confrontation, the pressure that they're putting on Jesus to come down on one side or the other. What have you to say? Tough question there. So then they asked this as a test, looking for something to use against Jesus. But Jesus bent down and started writing on the ground with his finger. Again, this isn't typical of John that Jesus would be silent, but maybe his writing down was a kind of response, ignoring their invitation to come in on one side or the other of this debate. So he's ignoring that invitation and writing something on the ground. You can speculate forever about what he might have been writing, but that's all we have, is that he wrote on the ground with his finger. St. Augustine, writing in the 4th century, would say that the law of Moses was written on stones for the hard hearts of the time, but Jesus is writing in the ground, almost like a gardener looking for fruit. So then, verse 7, they continue to question him, but they've got the idea that he's not going to answer. They persisted in their question. He looked up and said, "If there is one of you who has not sinned, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again, this isn't typical of John. John would emphasize faith and acting in love as the criteria for discipleship. So if one of you has not sinned, that's his criteria there, let him be the first to throw a stone. Then he bent down and wrote again on the ground. So they went away one by one, beginning with the eldest. So this is an indication that the community became aware of their sins, and even the senior members of the community weren't without sin. So they were left, Jesus was left alone with the woman who remained standing there. So the poor woman was treated as an object, bait almost, into this argument. So Jesus looks up and says, "Woman, where are they?" So the word "woman" could be translated in our ways as "ma'am." It's a term of respect. Woman in our language wouldn't be really a term of respect, but it is in the culture of the time. So, "has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she replied. "Neither do I condemn you," said Jesus. That's the mercy of Jesus there. "Neither do I condemn you." But then the curative word, "go away and don't sin anymore." That's basically Jesus fulfilling the law of Moses, that the evil would be expelled from the community. He expels it by giving instructions, teaching, and commands. "Go away and don't sin anymore." So it's a wonderful story, lovely, a heartwarming story of the mercy of God. So just for your discussion, the Pharisees and scribes self-righteously condemned the woman until Jesus brought them in touch with their own sinfulness. This was a conversion moment for them, and they turned away from their quest for the death of the woman. Have there been times when your awareness of your own fragility and sinfulness has helped you to be less judgmental of others? Okay, another one now. Compassion for human frailty combined with a gentle challenge to a better life marked the response of Jesus. From whom have you experienced a compassionate challenge? What was that like for you? And to whom have you given such a challenge? So let us pray. God of power, God of mercy, you bring forth springs in the wasteland and turn despair into hope. Look not upon the sins of our past, but lift from our hearts the failures that weigh us down, that we may find refreshment and life in Christ, our liberator from sin, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And God bless your work, and God bless your time together.